of how Jesus stilled the storm. And that really is one of the great miracles of Christ. There are many the miracles of Christ that I love to teach on and love to preach on, but this one is certainly a special one. I think if you just notice by way of introduction in verse 23, you find him entering into a ship. He enters into the ship and he's about to teach these fishermen a tremendous lesson. They've been in ships their whole life. And then we see also in verse 23, we see not only the ship, but we see the Savior. It says, and he was entered into the ship. And so Jesus gets into this ship. And then we find something in verse 24. It says, and there was a great tempest. We find not only a ship and a Savior, but we find a storm. A storm. Can I say this to you, ladies and gentlemen, not part of our message tonight, but each one of us will be thrown into storms. God places us in a storm. Something you notice again, not part of our message tonight, but though they were in a storm, Jesus was with them. He was with them. It says there, right after that, not only do we find the ship and the Savior in the storm, but we find in verse 24, it says, but he was asleep. We find the slumber. The only record in the Scriptures where we can find that Jesus slept. We know he did. He had a human body. Amen. He had the humanity that we have. He got tired. He was weary when he came to Jacob's well. But this is the only record where we can find that he was asleep. And then we find the scurrying in verse 25. And you can just imagine, again, don't be too hard on the disciples. Put yourself in their place. Listen, I don't know about you. I can tell you this. I've been on boats before. We grew up in New England. We've done whale watches. And I can tell you, literally, as soon as I get on the boat, I begin to breathe oddly. And I began to bring up gas. And next thing you know, I'm on the side, and some of you are understanding what I'm meaning right about now. Amen. As we, I don't do boats very well. Ask my wife. I remember when we went to Hawaii, and she said, "Honey, do you think we could take a canoe?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't know how it'll be." Amen. And that's just me. But just try to put yourself in their place. It doesn't say that it was just a little bit of rain and water. It says here there arose a great tempest. Huge waves throwing the boat all over the place. And here's Jesus and he's asleep. And they begin to scurry around. And they come and they wake him up. And they said, "Lord, save us. We perish. We're going to die." And then we find Jesus' statement that we'll be examining tonight. It'll kind of be the thrust of our message tonight. And it says, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" And then we find the stillness. Again, by way of introduction, he arose. Jesus arose. They woke him up. He arose and rebuked the wind. I'll tell you, there's some events in the Bible, Brother Merrill, that I would have liked to have seen. That'd be one of them. That'd be one of them. When he literally, this huge tempest is just swelling and waves everywhere in storm. And Jesus says in another account, he says, "Peace be still." And the songwriter wrote that great song, "Master, the tempest is raging. Peace be still, peace be still." And a stillness took place. And then we find the ship, the Savior, the storm, the slumber, the scurrying, the statement, the stillness. Then we find the staggered disciples. What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? The key statement is found in verse 26. "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" You know, as fear is common to all types of people. Fear is a common thing. By the way, there's really two types of courage dealing with fear. There's physical courage. Some people, I've met young men growing up and then older men, that literally, they're not afraid of anybody. They're not afraid of anybody. I wish I was that way. I'll tell you, as a kid, I got in plenty of scraps, and that was back when you could get in them. Amen. You can't anymore. That's a whole other subject. But we got in scraps. You know, Dad taught us how to box and hold our hands up. You know, amen, amen. And we got. But I'll tell you, every time I went into a fight, I was scared. I've met some people, man, I think they'd fight Satan himself and not be scared, amen? I mean, that's a physical courage. But there's another kind of courage called moral courage. Moral courage is not being afraid to do the right thing. I was talking before the service with somebody and they were asking me my advice on something. And I gave him this statement that somebody gave me out of a book. I had to make a difficult decision one time, and I was really agonizing over it. And I mean, I was agonizing over it. And my stomach was churning. I didn't want to have to make this decision. And I went and I pulled a book off my shelf by an old leather lung preacher named Bob Jones Sr. And it was called Do Right! That was the name of the book. Do Right! And I went to that book, and I'd had it on my shelf, and I'd looked through it before, but I took the time to read Dr. Jones' sermon, Do Right. And he opened with this statement, and this is a statement I gave to somebody even this evening as we were talking. Dr. Jones opened with a statement. He said, "When I come to a difficult situation, I do not ask myself what is the convenient thing to do. I ask myself, what is the right thing to do?" Doing right takes moral courage. But I want to just tell you something, folks. Fear factors in there. The devil would like to have you afraid to do the right thing. I can tell you this, even as your pastor, even in this situation that I was in, the right thing was difficult. But by the Holy Spirit's help, I said, I'm going to have moral courage. Amen. By the way, we know this about fear. There is a proper fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Hey, listen. The one who created everything in 6 days by the word of His power, we ought to fear. We ought to fear the one that holds our breath in His hand. We ought to fear that. We ought to fear disappointing God more than man. That's a proper fear. Everyone struggles with some type of fear. I want you to go to a couple scriptures. Maybe the Lord will shine these on you. Go to Job chapter number 41. Job chapter number 41. And if you know your Bible at all, you know in Job chapter number 38, 39, 40, and into 41, God asks Job, after Job pours his heart out and complaint, and some of us would say righteous complaint, but complaining to God, God asks Job 82 straight questions. And if we could put it this way, he basically says, who do you think you're talking to? By the way, that's fearing God. And Job realized who he was. You read that later. But look at Job chapter 41, verse 33. "Upon earth there is not his like who is made without fear." You know what that means? Every person, I don't care who you are going to at some point in your life struggle with fear. Fear. Jump over to the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Something else we see here. And here is the person that I would say, again, not a contest, not to compare one another with another, but I would say that Paul is probably the finest Christian that we know. In the New Testament, wrote, if you believe he wrote Hebrews, and I do, he wrote half of the New Testament, 14 books of the New Testament. It says here in chapter 2, verse number 3, look at it with me. Here's Paul speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. "I was with you in weakness and in fear." And if that wasn't enough, not only fear, but much trembling. Paul was afraid. Hey, listen, by the way, if you had a posse looking to kill you in Acts chapter 9, and you had been beaten 3 times with rod, and you had been stoned to death, you'd be a little afraid too. Now, it certainly seems that Paul had the moral courage that we all wish we had, because what did he do? Literally, when he was stoned to death, he got up, went back into Lystra, and went right back into the synagogue. Now, how about that? Brother Becker, I don't know if that'd be me. I hope it would be. I'd want it to be. But I'm going to tell you something. Paul dealt with fear too. Most of us deal with fear. Everyone struggles at some point. The disciples here paint a picture of humanity, and God gives us the remedy right here in this verse in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? It's a rhetorical question. It answers itself. Why are ye fearful? Why? Little faith. Little faith. Much faith, little fear. Little fear, much faith. Little faith, much fear. Amen? It's the way it is here. And so we see that fear can be defeated by faith. Let me give you some areas tonight that people fear. Perhaps you're in this room, and this may speak to your heart, one of these fears. I think that the first thing that everyone fears is the fear of death. The fear of death. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, let's go there, amen? Let's go there rather than have me quote it to you. Let's all go there and look at that tonight. Tremendous verse of your Bible. You ought to mark it in your Bible. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans 5, 12. Says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Let me just say three things about the fear of death. The fear of death is common. The Bible says this in Proverbs 22:2, the rich and poor meet together. Do you know where the rich and poor meet together? In death. Rich people die, and poor people die. This year, April, I'll be preaching a message on the sinking of the Titanic. It is the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. One of the great verses that I'm reminded of is that verse in Proverbs chapter 22. When the Titanic sank, when the Titanic scraped along that iceberg for 30 seconds and ruptured 5 of the watertight compartments, if it had ruptured 4, it would have been able to stay afloat. But it ruptured 5. The captain and the crew realized that most of the people on the Titanic were going to die. I want to tell you something, folks. That's a common fear. Can I say this? Even for God's people. We know where we're going. But still, we fear death. Can I just bare my soul with you? Listen, I'm 39, but I believe what I preached this morning. There comes a time when God says time's up. And I don't know if my time is 39 or 49 or 59 or anywhere in between that. I fear death for leaving my wife with 2 little boys. You say, you have fear, Pastor? Absolutely. I'm made of the same stuff you are. Fear of death is common. The fear of death is cruel. The Bible says in James chapter 1:15, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I think of the cruelness of death. I think of parting with those that we love. It's cruel. I don't mean that God's cruel. Death is a consequence of sin. God didn't create sin. I know we talked about the Gnostics last week, and I happen to believe that when you take Calvinism to its final end, Brother Jeff, that you have to believe that God created sin. There's the perfect will of God that God send people to hell for their sin. No. God didn't create sin. No. I want to tell you that fear of death, it's cruel. I've stood by the graveside of coffins that were this big. That's cruel. It's fearful. I have little children. I know Mr. and Mrs. Merrill lost a child. Some of you have lost children. Cruel. Again, not God. Death. And so the fear of death is common and it's cruel. And can I say this? Death is not only common and cruel, but death is coming. We talked about that this morning. For it is appointed unto men once to die. Most people, especially the lost man, fears death. And it brings me to a second point. Not only the fear of death, but the fear of the unknown. The fear of the unknown. We talked about it a couple weeks ago about worry, things to consider. And listen, most of our worry, most of our fingernail chewing right to the quick, amen, is about the unknown. And that's what God said in Matthew chapter 6. He dealt with that. He said, listen, why do you take thought for raiment? Well, why do you bother with thinking about food? Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. And he goes on to say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, take no thought for the things of the morrow. Don't fear the unknown. Who will do this? Who will? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if... You know, you could go on. And on, and on, and on, and worry yourself into an early grave about 95% of things that aren't even going to happen. A story is told of a Persian general who had the habit of giving his captives a choice between a hooded executioner and a razor-sharp axe. In an instant and quick death, or a gigantic black iron door. And invariably, the captives would choose the razor sharp axe. And so one of the general's attendants asked him one day, "General, what is behind the giant black iron door?" And the general said, "Freedom." But they never choose it. They're too afraid of the unknown. They thought perhaps some torture squad was behind that door and they would die over months and years rather than die a quick death. Ladies and gentlemen, we all battle with the fear of the unknown. What if this happens? What if I can't pay my bills? What if? It's a fear of the unknown. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Number three, not only the fear of death, and the fear of the unknown, but the fear of man. We talked about that not too long ago. The Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. You remember in the book of John, chapter number 9, and the story of when the blind man was healed. The man born blind. One of the absolute greatest miracles of Jesus Christ. And this man, the Pharisees are, they're questioning him and they're saying, tell us how this happened. And he said, a man named Jesus made clay, put it on my eyes, told me to wash, and that's what happened. They said, no, that can't be it. And then the Bible says they asked him again. He said, well, I told you once before, a man named Jesus made clay, put it on my eyes, told me to go wash, and now I see. They said, no, this man is a sinner. And he said this, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. This one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. The Bible says the Pharisees came and questioned his parents. They came and they had that skewed Pharisaical glance, nose in the air. Is this your son? And was he born blind? And they said, that's our son. He was born blind. And the Bible says that they didn't answer him anymore. They said, you ask him, he's of age. Because they feared the Jews. Because the Jews had said any man that would confess Christ would be put out of the synagogue. Ladies and gentlemen, man fears man. This is rooted in power many times. How many of us had worked a job and we were fearful of our boss? We feared what he could do to us, so to speak. I think many times the fear of man overcomes us like that. I recently read the story of a Medal of Honor winner. His name is Dakota Meyer. He's the most recent Medal of Honor winner. And he worked for a company that made sights for weapons. And they were getting ready to sell their sights to Pakistan. And Dakota Meyer stood up and said, "That's not right." And he resigned from his position. It's one thing to say that's not right. It's another thing to walk away from a livelihood. And now they're trying to assassinate his character, saying he's got mental problems and he's got issues. Hey, listen, what he said was, "I don't fear man. Wrong is wrong and right is right." The fear of man. You know, the fear of man makes many men and women spiritual cowards. You know why we don't do this more often? Because we fear men. Help me, church. Because we fear what man is. We fear, "I don't know what to say, and I don't know, I'm going to make a fool of myself." Hey, listen. That may all be true, but God said go. The reason we don't go is we fear man more than we fear. Say, "I don't like that. I don't like it either. But I found it to be true in my own life." The fear of man. It's a fear that people deal with. The fear of the unknown. The fear of death. Number four, the fear of loneliness. The fear of loneliness. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I think of our blessed single folks and even some of our dear folks that have been married 45 and 50 and 55 and 60 and 65 years. I know this. To lose that one that you've lived all those years with is a great fear. I'd be so lonely without... Listen, I've only been married for 15 years. I cannot imagine how lonely I'd be, even with those rugrats that I have. I can't imagine how lonely I'd be without my Blondie. Amen. That's what I call my wife, Blondie. Amen. Maybe one day I'll call her Silver or Whitey. Amen. But now it's Blondie. Amen. Look, if you would, at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 10. Or actually, look at verse 9. Here Paul is writing to Timothy. He said, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Come quick. Come and see me quick. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me." After all the hundreds of people, the thousands of people, maybe the 10,000s of people that Paul had personally won to Christ and started churches and established missions posts, here he came to the end of his life where he was sitting in a Roman jail and could hear the axe sharpened that was going to remove his head. There's only one person with him. I don't know about you folks, but the fear of loneliness is real. It's a real fear. And it parasites on the fear of the unknown. But that fear of loneliness, oh, how many struggle with that. Can I give you a fifth one? How about the fear of the past? Go back with me to Joshua chapter 7. The fear of the past, and particularly this, past failures. Past failures. Back in Joshua chapter number 7, and many of you know this account. We can kind of breeze through the beginning of this account. But we know what happened here in Joshua chapter 6 is God destroyed Jericho and he used his method. He didn't use a nuclear bomb, amen. He didn't use tanks or artillery. He used his people doing what he said his way and he did it and he got the glory. Amen. He had people walk around. and blow the trumpet when he said to, and the walls fell flat. And this first of 10 cities, God said, that city's mine. Don't take anything of it. By the way, that principle is still true. The first tenth belongs to the Lord. Amen. It's not ours. It's much better to live on 90% with God's blessing than on 100% carrying the curse of God. Amen. Joshua chapter 7, God says, hey, I know what happened. Achan has taken the accursed thing, and we know later he shows that. But what happens here, look at verse number 3. It says, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up. By the way, they had, up to this point, the armies of Israel had never suffered a defeat. Never. And look what it says. But let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. He basically said, hey, Ai's a cakewalk. Just send 3,000 good men up there, we'll be all set. Look what it says in verse 5. Or verse 4. So they went thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. Uh-oh. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them before the gate unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And again, it's not the message tonight, but listen, ladies and gentlemen, your sin affects other people. The sin of Achan led to the death of 36 Israelite soldiers. And we find out what happens. God reveals it to Joshua. What happens? They take Achan and his family out, stone them. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, what's the next word, church? Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee. Arise and go up to Ai. I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. Now, Pastor, what do you mean fear of the past failures? Listen, we have all failed. Please say amen. We have all failed. And the devil would love to get us to sit down, spiritually speaking, and suck our thumbs and say, well, I've tried this before, and I can't do it. God says, hey, look, you can do it. Fear not. You can get up, and you can serve me. The fear of past failures, it grips us to the point where we stop trying. How many people have said, you know what, I've tried to quit smoking 100 times. I'm not trying to quit anymore. How many people have said, you know, I've tried to give up this sin and I can do it for a few days, but then it just keeps coming back. Listen, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, Proverbs 24:16 says. The fear of the past, the fear of loneliness, the fear of man, the fear of the unknown, the fear of death. Number 6, the fear of judgment. The fear of judgment. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, to whom much is given, of him shall much be required. I fear when I'm judged before God on the judgment seat of Christ that I'll have not done all that I could. Somebody says, I don't fear that. Then you don't understand anything about the judgment seat of Christ. There'll be no proud people there. There'll be many that have many works to throw into God's fiery furnace of trial. But for many, it'll just be wood, hay, and stubble, which become ashes when you burn them. The fear of judgment. By the way, that can be very healthy to motivate us. Some people just take it and they cower and they don't do anything. Well, the fear of judgment. Can I give you another fear? Go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, number 7. The fear of death, the fear of the unknown, the fear of man, the fear of loneliness, the fear of the past, the fear of judgment. And boy, I think about this one. 1 Peter chapter 4, and then we'll go over to Hebrews chapter number 11. but the fear of trials. The fear of trials. Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Back to Hebrews chapter 11, the end of the chapter, starting in verse number 36. I'm planning, Lord willing, Lord leading, of preaching a Sunday night series out of the book of Hebrews chapter 11 next year. In the beginning of the year, I always stop and pause when I come to verse 36, because up till then you just find some incredible triumphs of faith. But in verse 36, we're taken from triumphs to trials. And it says in verse 36, look at your Bibles, please. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's also the fear of trials. I've known preachers to go through incredible trials. And can I just be open and honest with you tonight? And I've seen them respond how I hope I will respond. How I hope I will respond. But in my heart, I also said as they were going through those trials, Lord, holy, I hope that doesn't happen to me. I hope that doesn't happen to me. It goes back to the fear of the unknown, doesn't it? Piggybacks on. See, there are trials that God puts us through, Brother Wally. Man, I think of that trial that you're going through. And it's a trial, folks. And you keep praying for Brother Wally, and I know you do. But all of us fear that. God, will I be found faithful in the trial? I want to give you just some applications real quick. 7 points there. Fear of death, fear of the unknown, fear of man, fear of the past, fear of loneliness, fear of judgment, fear of trials. The antidote is faith in God's promises. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. A great verse to memorize, a great verse to mark in your Bible. Let me just give you 7 applications. The fear of death, faith can conquer that because Jesus Christ has conquered death. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. This is the resurrection chapter. This entire chapter is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fear of death, listen, I can understand why that would grip the lost person. But you know what? Our God has conquered death. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who hath given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just an Easter sermon. It's an everyday living sermon. Hey, when you fear death, remember that your Jesus has conquered death. Number two, the fear of the unknown. There is no unknown to God. And your heavenly Father knoweth what you need. He knows what you need. So you don't have to fear. What if? Listen, God's got all that under control. Amen? God's got that all under control. But what if this happens? And I don't know about... God's in control. He's sovereign. Amen. Number three, the fear of man. God is greater than man, and we are told not to fear him which can destroy the body, but rather in Matthew 10:28, to fear him which can destroy both body and soul in hell. And that means fear God more than you fear man. Number four, the fear of loneliness. Can I just quote you the verse? For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. Number five, the fear of the past. Christ has forgiven all of our past. You don't have to fear those past failures. Listen, God forgot about them. If you came to Him in humble repentance and confessed that to Him and said, I failed you, I've sinned, God put them behind His back. No need to bring them up again. You don't have to fear the past failures. Number six, the fear of judgment. Jesus Christ has taken all of our judgment upon Himself on the cross of Calvary. And He promises power to live like we're supposed to. Don't forget that. Say, but I fail God. I'm so afraid of His judgment. Listen, if you've trusted Christ, your sins have been judged. And He can give you power to live for Him, to so that when you face Him at the judgment seat of Christ, though we're all going to be humble, we don't have to be ashamed of the way we live. We can live right by His power. And then number seven, and lastly, the fear of trials. I think of the illustration that God gives us in the Scripture. On the plains of Babylon, and old Nebuchadnezzar, he brought everybody together. He said, when you hear the Babylonian rock band, that's what I call it, amen, the sound of the cornet, and then he goes through this whole, when you hear the Babylonian rock band, you best be bowing to my image. And sure enough, when they fired up their music, everybody bowed down except these three Hebrews that were looking around, and they stuck out like a hitchhiker's thumb. And they looked at him, and all the princes came to Nebuchadnezzar, and in their whiny little voices, you can just hear them, oh, they're not bowing. Okay, you said everybody had to bow, and they're not bowing. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible said he was filled with rage and fury, and he said, how come you haven't bowed? And they said, King, we're not afraid to answer you in this matter. We're not being disrespectful. But our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from that fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thy hand, they said. Then they said this, but if not, know this, we're not going to bow. And Nebuchadnezzar, so fired up, so probably just as hot as that furnace, Nebuchadnezzar was. He said, throw him in that furnace. And sure enough, they brought him up to the furnace, and they opened the furnace, and it literally burned the guards to death. And they threw him in that furnace. And those three Hebrews, you got to really search the original Hebrew to find this. They went, brr, freezing in here. Anybody got a blanket? And Nebuchadnezzar looked in. He said, hey, come here. Didn't we cast three in there? He said, yea, king. He said, I see four. And the fourth is like the Son of God. You know what I learned from that, folks? Jesus is with us in every one of our trials. And many times, like in this story, He sent the disciples directly into a storm. But He was with them. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness to us. God, help us to know tonight that fear can be defeated. That faith is the victory that overcomes the world. I pray for our folks tonight. Everybody has different fears. I pray that You would give us victory tonight over our fears. Help us to know that our fears can be defeated through faith in You and in Your Word. We love You. Thank You for all that You give to us. In Jesus' name. Page 400.